Welcome to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast with me, Bobby Temps.
And me, Danny Hogan.
And as usual, we're going to have a bit of a catch up on what's happening with our dating life, how possible it is for me to even go on dates or not in a lockdown, and look into some of the themes that have come up in our recent episodes.
Cool. And even for you saying that, or how your dating life is, same for me, you know, in a relationship, in the house, in lockdown, or even having dinner on our own. I mean, we're luckily at the point of still having dinner together with the children. We haven't, this lockdown, had one meal on our own at the table, having the chat that we might have had when we've had busy working weeks normally and we're out there. We might, you know, on a Friday night or a Saturday night, once a month. Let's not pretend it's every weekend. If we're lucky, where, you know, him and I sit and have a meal on our own, maybe a candle, and maybe we've both had a shower, you know, if we're feeling datey and in that kind of mood, where we sit and actually put effort into the meal that we're cooking and how we present at dinner and have a conversation, you know, so it feels like a date. That shit ain't happening. This lockdown, we've not got there yet. So, yeah. So it ain't just you singletons out there that are struggling to date. Us in relationships are also challenged.
That is true. I wonder, though, do you feel like you're missing out on that as much? Or do you think if you forced yourself to do it, you'd sit down and you wouldn't have much to say to each other because you've been around each other constantly?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm missing it just because it might feel something different to even, like, get out of your joggers. You know, I had to force myself. The other day I went to my mum's house, she doesn't live too far away, to do some work online. I was delivering a session and I put my jeans on and a polo neck or whatever, just half decent, just so I felt a bit more worky. People could see I had a polo neck on, not a hoodie. Not that that makes any difference really, but still. But when I came home, it was like 4 o'clock and all I could think about doing was getting out my jeans. Like, I'm generally a bit of a house clothes person anyway, and I'll generally come out of my kind of day clothes a bit, especially if I've been out in public or on trains or whatever, restaurants, you know. I don't really like to kind of hang out on my settee in my outdoor clothes. I'm a bit weird like that. But I've noticed that it's a bit like, are we really going to get into kind of like shower pyjama type mode at 4 in the afternoon? But I'm a bit like, yeah. If I'm honest, because I want to be comfy and I'm not doing anything and we're not doing anything. But then I suppose we are still in a relationship and we are still like looking at each other. You know, if he comes down in jeans and a top that I haven't washed 50 million times that month, something new out of the wardrobe, I think, oh, it does make you think, oh, you look nice. Even if it's just a sweater that I haven't seen, that's not in the cycle, because we're washing the same clothes. We've got like 3 outfits between us. I guess loads of people are like that at the moment, you know?
Yeah, it's a real eye-opener into how much people are dressing for others, right?
Yeah.
Because it's so much of that has fallen away. And I definitely think I would be making more of an effort if I was in a relationship.
Yeah.
And this is me speaking to you today, still in the onesie I slept in, because, like, you know, I woke up and I had some urgent work to do. So I just, like, sat in my bed and finished the work. And now, you know, here we are. And I've not left the house yet. So the priority of wearing real clothes is so much less.
Yeah. I mean, we even got some goodies from one of our sponsors, didn't we? And now I got a coat, to be fair. I ordered a coat that's quite a day coat, like a big long line puffer. Mm. And I've been walking every day. In the mornings, I get up and walk for about an hour and a half. And that is a real practical coat that I ordered. And it's big hood and it's great in the rain. So I wear that all the time. But with you, oh no, it wasn't one of your goodies. It was something that you'd had, I think, over Christmas, an amazing long line kind of trench knitted coat. Did you get out of All Saints?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from my parents.
Oh, my God. And I'm like, you just want to get that on. Is it just hung in your wardrobe? Like, you're not going anywhere. Although you do march up into, you live in the city, so right in the middle of town, don't you? So you march up to the post office now and again, or you might go for a coffee or hot chocolate. I'm wondering if you've been putting it on just because, you know, just because.
I mean, it does make you feel better. Like, for me, at least, I definitely see that correlation that I can sort of dress myself to feel more of a functioning human, like, you know, I can dress to fool the world and fool myself slightly at the same time.
Yeah. And it's a hot coat. You look amazing in it. So, you know, single and all that, marching through town.
Oh, thank you. Although, I mean, not that what happens, right? Like, I have seen hot people and I'm like, I can't approach you now. And for the first time in my life, I'm beginning to understand, like, the Victorian thing of liking people's ankles, because it was sort of, like, fetishized as something that you don't see.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah, because you when would you see an ankle in that style of clothing? And I feel like maybe is that the modern version is like, oh, I wonder what's under that mask.
That's amazing. I didn't even think of that, ankles. But yeah, you're right. What's under the mask? You know, you try and put a bit of lipstick on. Is there any point? No, because you've got big lipstick marks all over your mask, or you take your mask off and you've got like smeared lipstick around your face.
Luckily, I don't have that problem, but I do hope, if nothing else, it helps for people's bad breath, because they're stuck with it now. So hopefully people's oral hygiene will be better for the single people after this.
Yeah, it's like firing back at them. It's like contained in this mask. We're like, oh, this is a funny smell that I'm normally putting out to the world. I'm actually smelling myself.
Yeah, it's not anyway. The kind of insight you necessarily want, but possibly the one people need.
It's really making me chuckle. I don't know why. And I don't know why I said chuckle, because I never say that. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought, why are you using that word? What? I hate that word.
Speaking of,
I don't hate it.
Podcast.
Yeah. Chuckle. That's just not my vibe at all. Anyway.
So the first thing we wanted to talk about today was polyamory, having got into that in some depth with Erin, and then it comes up again in Elf Lion's episode, which you've not heard yet, but will be out by the time this episode is out. Podcasting, time travel, and all that. And so it really has got me thinking, and actually has been a bit of a relationship breakthrough for me. In terms of understanding polyamory better in a broader sense, and realizing that I have been engaging in polyamory and not even realizing. Yeah, so I did not really think that if you are intimate with a friend that exists for more than one friend at a time, as it has in some periods of my life, I didn't realise that that counted, because they weren't, you know, romantic relationships in the same way necessarily, but I have had a lot of what I would describe as intimate friendships of, you know, different levels of seriousness and length. And I didn't realise that if they overlap, that counts as polyamory, which maybe is foolish of me, but talking to Erin, I was like, so this feels kind of familiar and interesting to me, and perhaps it's beyond just like, oh, I'm interested in this in theory, and actually it's like, no, maybe I can relate to parts of this.
Wow, that's a massive statement, but I guess learning or topic to unpick, because we understand that obviously there are different levels of intimacy and relationships, but where then would that cross the line? If polyamory is poly multiple, isn't it? And the amory is the love bit. So you can love a friend, but without the romance, is it not just a friendship? Does it then fall into polyamory? Because you love your mates, some of them, I guess.
I guess that's what I thought, but seemingly it can be included. I imagine, like with anything, there's obviously an element of subjectivity to it, but it actually explains a lot. Yeah. And I think it partly explains why I have an ability to process those relationships in a way that some people don't. And certainly some of those have ended where it's got a bit kind of much or a bit confusing for the other person.
Yeah.
In a way that I can maybe wrap my head around easier. And I don't know if that's a case of practice, because like when I started getting involved in relationships as a young person, at the same time I was also kind of exploring things physically with friends. So I've not done dating before I've done this. I've sort of learned to be in both types of dynamics at the same time. And so
I was going to say, yeah, that's interesting. And I also think it could be because the fact that you date all genders, it may cross when you just said that about polyamory, and that actually it may mean this too. I straight away thought about my relationship, because I identify straight. I guess it might come less into play with me, because my friendships with women who are also straight, even though they're intimate, emotionally close, connected, deep, I feel like there's just no lined to cross, or no line that needs to be drawn, or no conversation that needs to be had about where this relationship might go, because we're both, I guess, in a labelled box, for want of a better term. So if you're maybe in a position where you're more flexible, more fluid, then maybe that polyamory can kind of come into that, because your relationship's made. You know what I mean?
It's a complicated one, yeah, even for me to wrap my head around, because this is sort of a relatively new realisation. But it gets me thinking about quite a few other things. Like, for example, for most of my adult life, I've had options relationship-wise. I've not experienced a huge amount of only one person being on my sort of romantic radar, if that makes sense. And so perhaps there's something sort of polyamorous even within that, that I am used to having an interest in multiple people. But then when I've got into romantic relationships, I'm also very good at cutting that off. And then I'm just really devoted and wrapped up in the person that I'm seeing, that I'm in then a committed relationship with, and I can sort of go into that monogamy without any effort. Or it doesn't feel like an effort. It feels like that's what I do. But then, of course, you start to wonder how much of that is the default and the societal expectations and how we're raised that I've learned to do that.
Yeah, because it might not be necessary. And I guess that's one thing I think that you're saying as well, that it's opened up your mind to, because it might not be necessary to have to go into that, although you might want to, and that's fine. And there are people out there that want to go into that monogamy wholeheartedly. But I think there are probably quite a few people, well, evidence would suggest that there are millions of people that don't necessarily want to go into that monogamous situation, but feel that they should, because people have this need to connect with other people, and it happens naturally. Some people go out for it. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's emotional, which is why often there's that often debate around, are you cheating if it's not physical? I guess you are if it's a secret. It's the secrecy, really, that comes with it, which is then where polyamory comes back into the picture. Because really, it's just an open, honest way of live how you choose to live. And everybody else around you knows that.
I know what you mean. And I think you mentioned something off air, which I find really interesting, this idea of cheating being something you do to another person.
Well, yeah, people, I guess maybe I could say it's easy for me to say, because I've not been repeatedly cheated on or had this whole like real deep heartbreak that people suffer through betrayal. But when people say, how could you do this to me? I guess in the moment of emotion, we kind of know what they mean. But I've always said to friends and to people that I work with, like, they betrayed you, your trust, and it's been a secret. And I guess that's what maybe people mean, like, how could you do this to me? But the doubt and the self-hate and the insecurities and all those kind of behaviours and thoughts and feelings that people kind of then start building up around themselves because a partner has been with somebody else are things that society, I believe, have built us to buy into.
I see what you mean. Maybe the middle ground on that is in the way we kind of word it in our head. So perhaps they're not in the strictest form doing that to you, but instead, what are they not doing to you? They are not keeping their commitment in terms of exclusivity, monogamy, and the thing they're doing is to somebody else. And of course, absolutely, you know, take issue with that. You know, I can totally understand feeling betrayed by that.
Yeah.
But maybe by looking at it in that way, we can start to explore, what were they going to? Was it something, an issue with them, where they felt trapped or the need to escape? Because a lot of that doesn't reflect on their partner, right? So you might feel like trapped in a job that you hate. And so maybe, even if it's not ethical, I can understand perhaps acting out as a way to feel a bit of freedom. If you feel very trapped in your 9-to-5, then maybe you bunk off work one day and go see somebody you fancy. And it's not the nice thing to do to your partner, but it's more about you. And so maybe that's where we can kind of explore that, yes, this is a betrayal, but it doesn't necessarily mean you are written off. There are obviously plenty of times where when couples explore it and maybe they go and get some external support, they find, oh, there is something we can overcome here and there is still a loving relationship and it doesn't mean they don't love me anymore, for example.
Well, yeah, absolutely, Bobby, because people, don't get me wrong, there must be relationships all over the place where you're not getting what you want from your partner and you go elsewhere. But, you know, in an ideal world, you'd go to your partner and work through that. And if that's still not happening, then the relationship may be over and you choose to go your separate ways. But there are tons of people who go with other people when there's absolutely nothing wrong. Sex is good. Intellectual conversation is great. We've got a family. We're set up. Like, everything in the world is fine with us. But there are people in their 90s who've probably been married for 60 years and say they never look elsewhere. They've never wanted anything else. They're soulmates. They love each other. And if that's the case, then that is amazing. But I think the huge majority of the population, you know, they are intrigued by other people. Like, I feel that that's such a natural thing, that then you just don't address those things and you stick with the person that you stick with. But there's got to be something in it. And in this polyamorous world, because fundamentally, biologically, there's a want to be intrigued by something else. Maybe it's a lot of the people out there are polyamorous, but never want to use that label and never want to say I'm polyamorous because that's like, oh my God, what does that mean? And you date all these people, but I will kind of pick and choose secretly what I want to do. And I will kind of, but be, if you're bloody honest and you also want to go there, I'm sorry, but it's a human thing. So, and you can tell I'm passionate about this. So to me, it's all about honesty. And it's about trying to find who you are and what you might want in that time, because that could change. It's interesting that the label is probably what puts a lot of people off from kind of being down with it, because I reckon quite a lot of people would go down that route.
Well, that's it, maybe, because it is often misunderstood. It makes it quite scary and stigmatised. And that's coming from me saying it, realising now, years later, oh, I technically can fall under having engaged in polyamory and not even realizing. And so that kind of shows how far the misunderstanding spreads. But you're right, the honesty element can bring so much power. I know that's the case for Erin. You know, the talking it through and being honest is a source of a lot of security in her relationships. And I guess that's the counterweighing to what you said about, you know, the secrecy and the lies, which understandably threatens people's sense of security. And for me, I'm starting to think about it more in terms of this all being a form of compromise, because if we want to be really strict about it, very few people are the most finite form of monogamy, which would be like we think of with swans, where you mate for life. You have one person that you couple up with forever. You never date anyone else. You never have a sleeping around phase. There's no childhood romances that don't mean anything. You find your one person and that's the one shot you get. And when we look at it that way, on the most narrow definition of monogamy, almost everyone is compromising away from that. And so it's how far are you going to go? And I think that's maybe an easier way to look at it. But for most people, instead, their version is they do love many people, but they love them one at a time. And then maybe their ideal is to find one person to commit to in the longer term.
Yeah,
it would be, I think it's a struggle for anybody to think I'm only allowed to romantically love or fancy one person ever.
Absolutely. We all meet someone at 14 and then we're just like, yeah, this is the person forever. And also, like, I guess I'm coming from where I feel passionate is different relationships as opposed to just one. If I'm honest, as much as I may sound, you know, quite strong in my views around this, I still would feel like with polyamory, we mustn't forget that it's about having potentially multiple or one other, or however it might be with a couple that you might date, or a single person or whatever. That's the big difference and that's the change. And that may be something that I would struggle with, because when it comes to the intimate side and the physical side and sex, a lot of people that have got hang-ups about sexuality is generally to do with the sex side of it. You know, because let's face it, we all have relationships with people from with all different backgrounds that are just friendships, and that seems to be fine. When it gets down to the business is when people are a bit like questioning, well, what does that mean? And how do you do that? And what's that? And what's that? So I think the sexual side is maybe where, you know, a lot of people would be like, I'm not quite down with you going and having sex with them and then coming back and having sex with me.
And there is the understandable health side of it, right?
Absolutely.
You know, you want to have safe sex and make sure your partner is safe, whether they're there or not. So there's obviously understandable concerns, but then also, like you say, those are quite general concerns as well. You know, safe sex is a concern in monogamy, feeling shame or embarrassment around sex. It's difficult to then pin down any of these issues being unique to polyamory.
Yeah.
And instead, I think there's ways that, yes, it does complicate things, but for many people, they find freedom in that. And that's the thing that I'm kind of interested to explore and try and understand better, because I've definitely, although not always realizing it, I definitely have. And, you know, that includes a relationship where it was an open relationship and we were open to going on dates with other people, but nothing went further than that. And I'm not even sure necessarily whether it would have. I didn't feel necessarily...
I know, but that's a question. Oh. Sorry to interrupt you at that point. Hold on to that thought. But that is a point, though, and a good question. Does it necessarily mean that you're not fulfilled in with one person? And if that's so, is that okay? Can one person give another person everything that that person needs?
Okay, you know what? I think you're right. While I can do monogamy, I don't think I could do monogamy and then have no friends. You know, I can only have one relationship if we use the broad relationship definition, right?
Uh-huh.
No, that is true. And there's obviously the stuff around not trying to find your whole happiness in just one person. And, you know, having a relationship with yourself, also important.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So I've been thinking about it a lot, and I feel I should share one anecdote because it came up briefly, but we didn't get to it in that episode, being that I went on a date with a couple, I guess, 2019 now. And it's so funny to look back on it, because by contrast, I was in London for one of my relatives' wedding. So I'm there for a wedding to see two people commit to monogamy, and then I'm there going on a date with a couple. So it's like very opposite ends of the spectrum, entertains me to look back.
That's funny, and it's
And it was something that came up where I was on holiday with a friend and we were talking relationships a lot, and I was just sort of feeling an itch for something kind of new, like to try and work it out, of like, I, you know, been struggling with relationship stuff, particularly at that time, and I wanted to sort of get back out there and dating, but I also felt like there was something I hadn't figured out yet, and maybe this was part of it, or I was just looking for a new relationship experience and it wasn't anything more than that. But either way, I joined the dating app Field, which was previously called Thrinder before Tinder sued it.
Oh, was it?
Yep, there's some dating app backstory. I've been doing a lot of research with a recent dating app founder coming on the show. And so the app is for people that are looking for relationships on the more casual side, but with varying levels of commitment with couples, or if you're a couple seeking what's known as a third to join your relationship in a serious or not serious way. And so there are, you know, single people and people looking for other things on there as well, but predominantly that's what it's known for. I joined that and I got swiping away, and I would imagine, I don't know whether it's cultural or whether it's just the massive population, but there was a lot of people on there in London. And so when I was next in London, I had got chatting to a couple, mainly her, and then had a date scheduled.
Wow.
And I was like nervous but excited, you know, new experience, but something fun to look forward to. I made the mistake of, and this might be a theme for me, taking too much responsibility for the date, because I somehow ended up choosing where we were going to eat. And I don't know why that ended up being the case, because I did not really know where to go. And the place that I ended up choosing, they had no tables. You could only like walk up, you couldn't book. And so it was full and they didn't know how long until there was going to be a table. So oh, in the God. End, we ended up eating at like the downstairs version of this restaurant. So the kind of logistics side, honestly, was stressing me out more than the situation. But I got there and had to deal with that and then find a place to sit downstairs. And then she arrived first. He arrived maybe 20 minutes later. They were both coming straight from work.
Right.
And they'd been together 7 years around that. And they had been open to dating a third person for a while. But I think in my bid to try and seem so casual and so comfortable, I did not ask maybe the questions that I should have done. And I think that's part of the reason why the next day I got a friend zone text on our three-way group chat that she'd written up, but you know, no doubt they'd had a discussion together before sending, and it was a very thoughtful message. But I was like, oh, this is a new experience being friend zoned by two people. And I
do you think they wanted you to be the experienced one and like, oh yeah, I've done this before, so you could kind of lead it if they'd never done it before? Maybe they were looking for somebody that was like, yeah, this is how it's going to work, this is what I'm down with. Because you and them, it was a new experience for all three of you. No one quite knew where to go, what questions to ask, or how it was going to work, and it then felt a bit weird.
Maybe. I think with my limited understanding, one thing I do know is there's obviously a great emphasis on making sure that the third person is comfortable, because you know, they're the one coming in on their own, the other two already have a supportive dynamic set up. And so in that, I think yes, I should have taken a bit more of the lead in some ways, and I certainly should have at least asked some questions around what opened you up to this, you know, what are you looking for, what level of seriousness are you looking for, how often would you ideally see the person? Yeah, not necessarily give them a full questionnaire, but just try and gauge it more than I did. And I didn't ask any of those questions because I was so busy trying to seem casual. And that may have come off as disinterested or just that they felt a bit unclear what I wanted as well.
Yeah. I mean, did you put much thought? I mean, I know you, so I know, I guess, the answer maybe. But did you put much thought into how you'd be willing for it to play out and what you wanted from it? Like, what was the intrigue?
I think I was trying not to think about it too much in order to not stress myself out by overthinking. So I was definitely intrigued to see what that dynamic was like. And even just, I was intrigued to go on a date with a couple. So in that regard, I'm very glad that I did. And it's an interesting thing to look back on.
Yeah.
And is something I would be open to again, actually. So maybe that's where part of the polyamory ideas, where there's maybe less pressure on a set way of doing it. You know, there's so many different versions of polyamory. Maybe that's part of the freedom element that you said. And so there could be a version of it where I start dating a couple and that's my version of polyamory. It's actually like one relationship shared with two people, as opposed to me having separate people, which again could be more complicated, could be simpler. It very much depends who's involved, right?
Absolutely. And do you know what, Bob, I also think there's probably a thin line between couples who, because I've got friends who are a couple who have been married for a long time who have threesomes, sometimes random people, or maybe not always random people. And I think there's a difference, and it'd be interesting to know more about that app or the people that are on it in polyamory, and couples who seek out a singleton to judge up their sex life. Because if a couple has, when they're on holiday, they're happy to have a threesome or whatever, sexually, it's just a sex thing. I'd love to get Erin's take on that, actually.
I think that's very interesting. And what I will say for me is that I was open to seeing where things potentially went or how they felt about me. But I was more interested, I guess, from a sort of relationship dynamic of exploring a more romantic element, as opposed to physical was not the primary driver for me. That was something I was open to, but that was not the reason I was there.
Yeah, I know that.
Which is just quite me in general, to be honest, which is why we shouldn't have had the conversation. But I definitely feel like that's something I could bring to a relationship, is the, like, emotional supportiveness and kind of looking out for them and And I feel like even though I wouldn't imagine myself technically being part of the couple in the same way that the other two are, I think I would still feel very protective of them, ironically, given that, you know, they're the two that are paired up and are more structurally sound, and I'm the adult one. Yes.
I just thought of a bridge there, structurally sound. It must have got all these images of like engineering and bridges. But yeah, that's it. That's really interesting. It's right what you were going into it for, 100 million different reasons to what maybe they were or other people are. And we know that polyamory involves love, and it really involves deep connection with more than one person. You know, I think a lot of people who identify as polyamorous absolutely will say, yeah, sex is, we're open to, but it's not my driver. Like, I'm not just in this to have sex with multiple people. And so, yeah, I think that's really interesting. And that's why at the beginning of this, I was saying, I think if more people, more relationships, more individuals were open to their partners and felt secure enough to their partners having relationships with other genders, which is why I mentioned, that's what I was going to say at the beginning about people who are maybe more open to dating different genders as opposed to people who are labelled as one or the other, I think they are potentially then more open in that way.
I do see that, but I wonder if perhaps more so it's a case that if you are outside of a straight sexuality, then perhaps you've got more of a reason to question societal expectations, because you're already doing something that maybe wasn't the way that you were necessarily brought up to expect yourself to be.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's like once you've questioned one thing about relationships, you start questioning more. And so maybe, you know, there are a lot of straight couples that get questioning monogamy when there's an issue with monogamy. And so maybe the conversation isn't everyone has to try polyamory necessarily, but it's why not talk about it? We should all be able to talk about it. And I think that's a nice place to start. Why not have a discussion? You never know. The other person might have something they're scared to say. And
yeah,
I'd always rather have the communication, for me at least. But one last thing I wanted to kind of mention that entertained me with very much this experience was the weirdest thing of all was sitting there, particularly before he arrived, and I'm just sitting with somebody else's girlfriend on a date. And, you know, that was, the whole thing was a new experience, but it was that one bit in particular that I was like,
yeah,
this is so wild. And this is the bit that I think I might have to question the most. It's like, not even necessarily, can I do non-monogamy? It's almost like, can I accept it towards me? Like, it's almost the other way around. You know, that was the thing that maybe I have to unpick of, she's not cheating. He knows she's here, he's just running late.
Oh, and that's because you're so amazing and lovely and loyal. That's so such a you thing to be worried about of them. Like, I'm not here taking her. Actually, no, I can today, because this is a different setup. You know, that's just you through and through.
I think this is why it's so fascinating to me. Like, whatever happens with whether I end up going down this path more, it's just so interesting to kind of consider and a way to question certain expectations. So, yeah, interesting. So we will see what happens. I'm definitely open to trying to date a couple again. Maybe with all this time in lockdown, I'll get back to dating and I'll be like, now I need to go on dates with double the people.
And just the last question, actually, though, because this is questioning my mind of what I've already assumed. When you talk about dating a couple, is that necessarily a straight couple?
Ooh,
is that a good question?
That is a good question. You're making me think here. I think perhaps by default, I think it is. But then we can ask the question of, is that living in heteronormativity? I am around straight couples more than any other type. And so maybe that is something that just, they're the ones that might also be the most available or accessible to me. They're the ones that I'm the most used to in terms of other people's relationships. Yeah. And so maybe that's the one that feels the most organic of, like, I understand this dynamic with other people best because this is the one I come across the most, as opposed to it being more in terms of, like, what do I want? What parts do I want?
Yeah.
But no, interesting though, right? It is an interesting one. We will see what happens. I think actually one very last thing I should mention, we've been trying to give little updates on my dating life and obviously not much has happened. But do you remember that I said about people messaging me over Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
People that I've gone on dates or exes of mine, I usually get a few messages on Christmas Day or thereabouts. This year I did not.
Oh.
And part of me felt slightly underwhelmed. You know, the messages confuse and or annoy me because I don't really know what to do with them usually. But part of me was like, ah, am I less loved this year? But it may just be many people were able to see their family for the first time in ages, so they were more distracted. And I've since got a message from, do you remember I used that Bumble template to sort of close off chatting to somebody? Mm-hmm. We mentioned in one of the previous ones of these. They sent me a message recently, and I wouldn't normally read a message, but this one is nondescript. But interesting. Greetings and salutations. I hope you are as okay as can be, with an X. And this is from someone whose previous message to me was ditto, see ya, X. So, like, I really love the Bumble template. I'd still recommend it. It's linked in one of the previous episodes as a polite way to say, like, oh, I don't know if this is going anywhere. Let's call it. But clearly not foolproof.
Maybe they were just checking in.
That's what it seems like, right? Yeah. It could be a friendship thing. It could be any number of things, but I'm not particularly looking to engage. So that's all said. Another one of our host catch-ups.
I love that conversation. We've spoke about it a little bit before, but we've never really gone into it. You know, I thank Erin for giving us some insight and for being the amazing person that they are. But yeah, it's got me thinking, and I really enjoyed that conversation. Learned a bit, shared a bit. Cool.
Great. Well, thank you as ever, and I'll talk to you on the next one.
Yeah, see you soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening. For more content, including extended ad-free episodes, you can join our Patreon, linked in the episode description. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta, with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet. Speak to you next Friday.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.